Father, we're grateful, Lord God, for time together in Jesus' name. We're grateful, Father, for your Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth, that keeps us on the way, Lord, and the path with you as we look to you, Father, as we turn to you, and as we continuously seek your face. Lord God, just this evening, Lord, as we would spend some time together in prayer, Lord God, as we would spend some time together in your word, Father, we invite the free flow of your Holy Spirit. We invite, Lord God, the flow from heaven, Lord God, and the leadership and the guidance of your Holy Spirit, Father, for us, Lord, and for all that would listen in this evening. Lord, we pray that you'd bless, Lord, your people. We ask, Lord God, for your strength for those that seek to walk with you. Lord, strengthen us, Father, to walk in and through this world, Lord God, to be the overcomers you've called us to be. Lord, right now, Father, we do bind every demonic spirit and every work of the devil, and we cast it out, Father. We take authority over all those spirits, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we call them null and void, and we do break their assignments and cast them out in Jesus' name. And Father, we continue to pray, Lord God, Lord, continually, Lord, for your release, your direction, your protection, Lord God. Father, as we go forward, we pray that every word that's spoken, Lord God, would be in accordance with your Spirit and in line, Lord God, with your will and plan for your church. And so, Lord, we just do it all in and through the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. Cool. Right. Okay, I actually thought last week that we might be done with this series. But then, as I was praying about things and I was looking at them, and I was actually starting to develop the next... there's like actually a couple that I'm working on right now, but I felt like there's still one more set of things that we needed to talk about in relationship to this series. Okay. So the series that we've been in has been called Kingdom Living, right? Now, we started off with this one with talking, going through Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 4. And, you know, we went through those pretty heavily. And the main points that we raised in those ones were the fact that at the end of this whole thing, despite all of these worldly kingdoms that are in existence, that God, he smashes that idol that's a representative of the world system, and his kingdom grows and fills the whole earth. And that kingdom began with Christ Jesus. That kingdom, bless you, that kingdom began with Christ Jesus. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 34, where it says, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Okay, so now, I mean, notice that the stone, it broke, it hit him at the feet. And then from the feet, it went back up through the entire statue all the way up to the head of gold. So now the head of gold is like kind of the foundation and the source of the thinking of where that comes from. Even us, we're part of the body of Christ. So, but we receive our direction from the head which is Christ. Likewise, the world system that's at enmity with God, even that world system that's there, you know, it, there's a root, there's an instruction point that it all comes from. There's, and then it, from there it filters down. Things filter down from that. So, God does in His own time destroy the whole thing, but. Like even in scripture when it talks about, you know, Babylon, the great has fallen, and Babylon, mystery Babylon, mother of harlots, all those things. It's you know, even in the modern day context, it's still an ancient system. You know, it's an ancient system that exists, it's an ancient system that we are dealing with, that has its roots, and even if it manifests in a modern fashion form, it's still the same root that has always been there. Now, when Now for us that are here in the world, okay, if for kingdom people, one of our challenges is to be in this world but not of it. And this is a real challenge. It's not a... Now Daniel had to face this one when he was... excuse me. Daniel had to face this one when he was stuck into Babylon. Because here he was... In fact, if you could flip back Daniel chapter 1, let's just go there for a second. Kind of before even the vision and all of those things happen. In Daniel chapter 1, in verse... Okay, let's just read chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Joachim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury house of his God. And the king spake unto Aphanaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability to them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof that they might stand before the king. Now among them were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave the names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah Shadrach, and unto Mishael Meshach, and unto Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat that your and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse like that, liking than the children which are of your sword? Then shall ye make me in danger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the princes of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servant, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Then Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Okay, and I think King Cyrus was the 4th king. So Daniel, like, went through Nebuchadnezzar, 2 more kings, and then into Cyrus. So Daniel lived a really long time in Babylon. Okay. Okay, situation that Daniel's put in. Now Daniel, at age 16, not of his own choosing, is put in a difficult environment, into the world system, thrust into the heart of what would be the world system in that day. And he, in that place, is a lot of things that are there. A lot of, I mean, his freedoms are taken away, his liberties are taken away, a lot of things are taken away from him. He's stuck. But, so he's a captive. I mean, he's captive in Babylon. Now, because he falls within a certain pedigree as such, the king, you know, is like, okay, grabbing a certain group of people unto himself that he feels would be beneficial to his own purposes down the line. In the situation that Daniel's in, he makes a choice. And the choice that he makes ultimately is based on his volition, based on the true person who he is within. Despite his external circumstances, and despite what he's been put in, his heart desire is to remain in connection and in step with the Father, as much as it is possible unto him. So there's a lot of things that he can't do in that situation. He can't go back to Jerusalem. He can't, he doesn't have a lot of say in a lot of things that are happening in his life. But in any place where he can, his desire is to walk with the Father. At 16, powerful. So what happens is he and three others. Now there's a lot of other guys that were taken and put into his situation just like him. There's a lot of other guys that were from the same background. But for those guys, the bulk of them, in fact all of them except for these four, all of them said in themselves, well, looks like this is kind of what we're in, and at least we don't have to be working fields and stuck in some kind of prison or something like that. This is kind of what our lot in life is going to be, so we'll just kind of do the best we can in this thing, and we'll eat whatever they put in front of us, and we'll just kind of work with it. Now, the thing in this situation is not about the food, but it's in the intention of their hearts. Basically, those guys and the rest of them said, alright, we'll play ball by the system that we're in. We'll play ball by the world system that we're surrounded by. Whereas Daniel and Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael, they said, no, we want to live in connection with the Father. And the simplest thing that happened with them was they were given, they wanted to give them food from the king's table. Now, in likelihood, there was food that, had some sacrifice to idols as well. So they didn't want to, they didn't want to willfully do something that in the end would be a hindrance to their walk and their relationship and their connection with God. So one thing that they did, as much as it was up to them, in any place that they could, they sought to do things right as unto the Father. And God saw their heart and honored that. Now, if say that these guys pinned them down and force-fed them the food, well, their heart's not in it. Their heart still doesn't desire that. Their heart's still not there. So, as much as it was up to them and the true person of who they were, did they want the Father or did they want the world? And the true person who they were wanted the Father. The true person who they were wanted the kingdom. And in that process, God gave them favor and created windows of opportunity for that to happen. Now, like people have gotten off on like, oh, what's the Daniel diet and what's this? There's certain natural elements to that. Yeah, of course. But the heart component in this whole thing was, God, my desire is to walk in connection and step with you, despite my situation. Now, you take somebody that's tossed in a brothel in Bombay, or someone sold into human trafficking, or someone who's born in an abusive family, or you name it, whatever it is, or someone that's born with a silver spoon in their mouth, and the whole world given to them on a silver platter, and born an elite, whatever it is, whoever the person is, regardless of the external circumstance and situation, if in their heart what they say is, Lord, I want to walk with you, I want to live in connection with you. That is someone that the Father wants to draw unto himself, wants to reveal himself to. So out of this initial decision at 16, which was, Lord, you know, just, it's about you. I don't want to be corrupted by the world and the world system. I want to walk in step with you. Whatever that means, however I can do that. Now, at that stage in time, Daniel wasn't thinking about, you know, being one of the chief counselors to the king. He wasn't thinking about, you know, any kind of honors that would come his way. He wasn't thinking about even getting 10 times the intelligence of all these other people. Nothing like that. It was a simple heart decision at a crossroad period of time. It was a simple heart decision at a crossroads in time where he had opportunity with a lot of other people. Now, as they continued to walk that decision out, different people went in different directions. As he continued to walk that thing out, some of them, the ones that walked with the Father, received more. And the ones that didn't, you know, they went down that path of diminishing returns. So, okay. So, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes into the Father but by me. Jesus is, he's a way. It's not a prayer. It's something that you start on and you go on through for your existence, your entire existence while you're in this life. Now, there's something about the nature of how people are made up, in that you have inside you your will, your volition as such. It's a component of who you are. So when you make a decision, you make a heart choice, and then out of that heart choice, then you have certain actions that you take. So, for example, but you can't look at something from the outward appearance, because how something is on the external surface is not necessarily where the motive comes from for why people do something. So, for example, somebody sees someone on the street that doesn't have food. Well, someone can have a heart response from the Spirit of God that will quicken them to give that person something to eat. Someone else, and they'll give that person something to eat. Then they'll go and they'll figure something out and they'll find a way to get something to that person. Then you can have someone else that sees that person on the corner with nothing to eat. And that person will also say, oh, well, these people are watching over here. I want to look good in their eyes. So I'm going to find a way to give them something to eat. So then they will go get something to eat and then give it to that person, not because of some proper motivation that came from God, but because how they wanted to appear in the person's eyes over there. So two of the exact same actions, but one done out of selfish motive and one done out of the first one being done out of the right source, which is something being quickened by the Spirit of God. The difference between the two, on the natural level, for most people, be like, oh, look at these two nice people. But on the spiritual level, God and the Spirit of God and the kingdom of God, and also demonic forces as well, all of them can see the spirit behind why you do what you do. Why you did what you did. So they know the motivations in the heart. So like in Matthew 7, where Jesus said, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name? In fact, let's go there really quick. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew, first book, New Testament. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Notice the source. Verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I shall profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Okay. So they did all kinds of stuff, but the volition of their heart, the motivation of the reason of why and the source of why they did what they did was not about him. And so again, when Jesus said in John 7, or in Luke 17, verse 20 and 21, the kingdom is within you. Don't look here, there, everywhere. You know that. Okay, let's put there real quick. Keep your finger in Matthew, and Luke chapter 17, and verse 20 and 21 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." So the kingdom of God is within. Now, flip back to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, where it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon the rock." So, and he goes on to the whole thing about the different foundations. But the hearing of the voice of God within, the connection that comes from the Spirit of God within, the motivation of the heart for everything that you do, every action that you have, the reason that you exist, all of that being from the source of life, and out of that being the person that you are and why you do everything you do, versus the things that you do being because of something you want in the world or something that you want for self. And people do all kinds of actions. So now I want to cut through the difference between what you see on the surface and what's really going on beneath the surface. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about how our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. So it goes to say, look, it's not what you see on the natural level. It's not what you see with your eyes. There's a different level that everything's taking place on. That's the level of true reality. And if we can understand that that's the level of true reality, we can also realize how we should relate and how we should be honest about who we really are and why we do what we do. Okay. Ultimately, there are three motivations that I see for why people do whatever they do. The first is, and the ideal one, is the kingdom of God, Christ Jesus being the King. You know that, I mean, like you have the Father, you have Him being the King, sitting on the throne, in connection with Him, His people live, and the source of life flows from Him, and we live in connection with Him, and anything that we do is out of that source and that connection, and we strive to live in that clean connection for our lives. That's one reason. That's one reason why you can have a motivation and why you can do whatever it is that you do. The next one is for self. You can have a self motive for whatever it is that you do. So you can have the reason that you do what you do is not because you love God, but you do it because you're self-serving and you are imploding. So your life is about you, not about Him. And you detach from Him, so it's about saving your life in this world. In the world... You can see this time and again in the world as far as what it pushes and how it pushes it to people. But the world system encourages you in that line as well to be selfish and to be self-serving. So the second one is self. The third one is the world itself. The world and the world system being an extension of that. And but separate as well as far as the motivation. But you, because somebody has bought into that system and bought into the world system that's at enmity with God, the kingdom of this world as such, that we talked about in Daniel chapter 2 as well, that Babylonian system that has its roots, you know, that go way back. But because they're hooked into that one, and that's what they long for and that's what they serve, the things that they do is an extension and motivated by that. So these are the motivations of the heart. These are the motivations of your volition, of your, of the true you. So, for example, how often, say for example, talk about business. How often will somebody in business, oh yeah, let's go take everybody out for a big business dinner. And they'll take people out for a business dinner and they'll wine them and they'll dine them and they'll, you know, they'll give them this and they'll bring them a gift and they'll invite them to their home and they'll put them... But what's the reason? It's not because they like the people necessarily. It's not because they could care two hoots about them. But because those other people have position in the world and the world system, and they themselves have something that they want to get out of them for their own desire in the world system. And so the interplay between the two is like, okay, you know, I give you this, you exchange that for this, and let me get whatever it is that I'm working for. But it's all about the world. And so people play each other within that system. And so they'll play each other on the positive way, they'll play each other on the negative way. They'll steal from each other, they'll rob from each other, but all of that is about advancement for them in the world. And ultimately it's selfish. Ultimately it is self-serving, self, which is this vicious imploding cycle. Versus take then somebody who's a kingdom person and the Spirit of God quickens them and says, hey, do this for these people. Now when they do it for those people, whatever it is, say they take somebody for lunch or dinner or whatever, but he's the one quickening them. They don't do that for some desired outcome or some desired effect. They do that because of the Spirit of God that's living in them, that is quickening them to that, and their obedience is the reward in and of itself. See, Jesus, the thing too is when he calls people into doing something, when he tells you to do something, the results are up to him. He knows exactly what he desires to have happen in that. The key for a kingdom person is obey. So likewise, for example, for us, so say you are, your head is thinking, oh, okay, I want to go get a bite to eat. But in order for you to get a bite to eat, you have to get up from your chair, walk down the stairs, go outside, catch a three-wheeler or get into your vehicle. You know, so you have to go through these certain steps to, if you're going to go get some food. Now, my feet don't need to know that I'm hungry, even though my feet live off of the food that comes into the body. All my feet need to know is you need to get up and you need to walk down the stairs right now. And all my hands need to know is you need to open up the car door and turn on the key. And all my, you see what I'm saying? All these different pieces need to know in the end is they just need to know that component that they have to play in that process for the desired outcome and the desired effect. And if they're a good part of the body, they do the part that they are meant to play, and the final result is what the head intended. So likewise, we are those that we play our role and our part, but ours is just to obey. And as we obey, that we get a fulfillment because we're carrying out the purposes for which we were created. Because we, like a hand is meant to be a hand. It functions well as a hand. It doesn't do very good as a nose. If a hand tries to be a nose, it's not going to work. But when a hand is doing what a hand is meant to do, it's the byproduct of that is it's fulfilling the purpose it was made to, and it's working really well. So for one thing that has to happen with the person that's walking with Christ is you have to allow the Spirit of God to reveal to you how he made you, why he made you, purposes that he put inside of you, the gifts that he gave you. He's given every person specific gifts. The gifts that he's put inside of you are for a reason. The gifts that he's put inside of you are not there by accident. They're there because they're part of your prophetic destiny. They're part of Him fulfilling a certain plan and purpose in your own life. So He wants those to be laid at His feet so that He can then quicken them by His Spirit and then use them according to the purpose He's designed for in the first place. Whereas what the world will do is, if it sees any gifts in a person, and everybody's got something, but whatever it sees in you, it will try to harvest your soul and put the gifts that God has put in you to work in building the system of the world unto the end of absolute destruction of as many people as possible, and life here on this planet if possible. Everything that can be destroyed, the world does it, because the world that serves ultimately the Luciferic agenda, the Babylonian agenda, is to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. In John 10, the thief does that. Okay. So ultimately, you have these different motivations for why you do what you do. Now, a true kingdom person, a true son and daughter of God, ultimately, like Daniel, the thing about them is, regardless of the situation that they're put in, their desire is to be in connection and to live in connection and to walk in connection with the Spirit of God. Regardless of their external circumstance, regardless of whatever they've been put in, their heart seeks and longs to walk and to know Him. That's what they want. That's really at the core of who they are. So like John 17 verse 3, when we talked about that, now this is life eternal, that they may know you, the one true living God, and your Son whom you sent, Jesus Christ. That is what it's all about. And for those people that are His, they've set their hearts on things above. They've set their hearts on being in connection with their Creator. That's what they want. And so the difference between them and the worlders is that those that are not kingdom people, those that are the tares that exist in the world at the same time, they haven't set their heart on the kingdom, and they never will. They don't want that. What they want is the world. What they want is success in the world. What they want is a self-serving agenda that's not about God. And so they themselves are set on something different. Now, one of the kickers is that because they have no life in them, the way that they get life is to drain it off of those that do have life. Well, okay, who has life? Well, God's people have life. So God's people have life because they're connected to the source of life. They won't go to the source of life for themselves, because that means they have to come into the light, and if they have to come into the light, then that reveals who they really are. So they don't want that to happen. So what they have to do is they have to go after and gain God's people, hurt God's people, do whatever they can, and out of that trauma that they inflict on the people of God, they get a boost. And there's a lot of times where God's people will actually go through so much of their life without even knowing what's going on, and keep wondering, why do I keep getting kicked in the teeth? Why do I do all these things keep happening to me? Why is it that every time I turn around, you know, that I'm being gamed like this over and over and over and over and again? And then a lot of times too, you know, and see, now God will protect those that are His. But also you see too where, you know, where they do get killed off at times. And that does happen. And now, if there's not enough of us in a certain place to justify the existence of the place, like Sodom and Gomorrah, it came down to the point of, hey, if there's not 10 in the city, you know, if there's 10 in the city, God would spare it. If there's not 10 in the city that are, you know, that are righteous, then it's not worth keeping this place. And in that situation, God moves His ones out and then destroys the place. So basically, when His ones are moved out, there's no reason anymore for that to exist. The play's over. Because the only ones that are really real are His. The rest are props on the stage. So different reasons and motivations for why we do what we do. And now understand and accept the fact that the vast majority of the people that you're around have bought into the world. The vast majority of the people that you're around have a self-serving agenda. So when they are, making a decision, they're making a decision based on self-interest and on their desire to succeed in the world. So if you would ask them for advice, for example, and you would say, hey, what do you think I should do about this situation? Where is their advice going to come from? What's the source of their advice? What's the source of their thinking? Evil, materialistic, ultimately just the world. It's their advice and their thinking is from that system. Whereas if you ask a kingdom person, they'll be thinking from a different vantage point. For example, for a kingdom person right now, this global economic crisis doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. Because a kingdom person knows the promises of Matthew 6, where Jesus said, look, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and whatever it is that you need will be added unto you. Again, what are you seeking? Where's the volition of your heart? The volition of your heart is to seek first the kingdom. Back to Daniel. Back to all these things. It's like the desire, the core of a kingdom person is you're seeking first the kingdom. And a byproduct of seeking first the kingdom is, hey, the needs that you have, he knows how to meet them, and he'll meet them and he'll take care of them. But a worlder doesn't believe that. A worlder gets their provision from Egypt. A worlder gets their provision from Babylon. A worlder gets their provision from the world system, and because of that, it trusts the world system. And their trust is in the world system, not in God and his provision. Which is the stupidest, most retarded thing, because in the end, it's like the one that made it and created everything anyways, why would you not trust him, but why would you trust a lie or an illusion and a system that in and of itself has no life, and the only way that it can keep going is by trying to steal it and siphon it off of those that have life that walk with God in the first place. So that's why too, like, I mean, just think about it, just 1 year was all that it took for the deck of cards, the house of cards, just to collapse. It's just 1 year. And you know, it so quickly, how many countries have been brought to ruins, how many people have lost their jobs, how many imports, exports, trade, all of these things slowing down so fast. It's just one little tiny thing, you know. So their system in and of itself, it can't stand on itself, it can't stand on its own. What does stand, what does last, is the kingdom of God. Back to Daniel chapter 2. That rock that grows and fills the whole earth, one thing that it also did was smashed and pulverized the idol in its most recent manifestation. And then it shattered the entire thing all the way to the head and the source of where it got what it was, pulverized it into the finest of powders, and then it just got blown away like wheat on threshing floor, where you couldn't even see what was there anymore. There's nothing there. And then this was that Spirit of God flowing through and growing that rock that grew and filled the whole earth. So that is ultimately the reality that we are looking forward to as well. The kingdom growing and filling the whole earth. That's what we're part of. Okay, so the area of your heart and your focus, that is the real you. What is in your heart? What is it that is your motivation, the reason that you do what you do? That's a very scary thing for a lot of people to actually have to face. Because when they face that, they also get a real picture of who they are. See, this is, a couple Sundays ago, I spoke a service, and one of the things that I talked about was how part of the process God will take you on when He's taking you within, because the kingdom of God is within. So as He's taking you within, one of the things that He will do is He will take you to a point of your own crucifixion where you will die a very real death in everything except you stop breathing. So you will be brought to an end of yourself. You will be brought to an end of your thoughts, of your thinking, of all that you were and you thought you would be in the world. It will have to be put to death. It literally is put to death on the cross in Christ Jesus. That the new life that you now have is His life in yours. You no longer live, but now Christ lives in you, and you, in Him you live and move and have your being, and you spend the rest of your life, as far as like your days in the world, as an extension of Him, part of His body, His life living through yours. You've given it up, given it over completely to Him, and now it's Him. And you make a free will choice to embrace that. You make a free will choice to be brought to that point of decision and die in that situation. That's the whole thing of what baptism is. When people get baptized, what baptism is it's a representation of the spiritual reality that has taken place in you. When you get baptized, what you're saying is, look, I am dead to the world and alive in Christ. The old me, the old person that was there, is now dead. There's a new person here. The new person is not Audrey. The new person is not Govinda. The new person is not Damita. The new person is Christ Jesus in and through me. So everything that I'm about for the duration of my time here in this world is about Him. Oh, here's another one too. When we switch over from death to life, a kingdom person no longer lives in time. There is, Jesus is, I am. And when you are consummated with Him, you shift over from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. And God is eternal. There is no time in Him. So what you do now is you shift over into a state of eternity now. Now the natural body that you live in, sure, that natural body, which is corrupted because of the flesh, because in your physical DNA, there's a corruption that goes all the way back to the garden. So that natural body that you're in does pass away, does die, and that's why we also get a new body. We do get a new spiritual body when we're done with this one. But you still exist in this body while you're here. But the spirit and the soul of who you are has shifted into an eternal reality. And in the eternal reality of who you are, now what you are doing is you are progressing through different states of being. Not natural time. See, the world, what happens is the world is hooked into the timeline. So it's like, okay, you know, you're born, you're 5 years old, you start your kindergarten, you start your grade school at this point, you graduate high school, you graduate college, you get married, you do this, you get your job, you get your pension, you get your retirement, and now you die and they bury you. And it's like, you're hooked into that timeline. And everybody's got their expectations in the world system of what you should do and when you should do it, because you are bought and paid for in the world system. And you are owned by it because you sold your soul to it to be part of it. When someone makes the decision to follow Christ and God quickens them and He says, hey, follow me, and they receive that substitution sacrifice that Christ Jesus made for them to buy them out of that, And the arm of the Lord is strong enough to pull a person out of that if they would take it. If God reaches out their hand to someone there, and they reach out to Him, His arm is strong enough to save and pull anyone out, no matter how deep in the world that they are, no matter how many babies that they've killed, no matter how many sacrifices that they've made, no matter how deep in sin that they might feel like they are, whatever it is, the arm of the Lord is strong enough to pull someone out of the world system and liberate them through the power of the Spirit of God and restore them unto Himself, period. There's no issue for Him on that. But what He wants from the person is He desires that their will is set to Him. They have to desire that in themselves. There has to be their free will decision and free will choice to receive that for themselves. They have to make that choice for themselves and say, Lord, okay, I choose, on my part, You're calling me, You're quickening me. I, on my part, receive that from You. And I choose to reach back to You. You called to me, I'm reaching back and I'm calling out to You. Lord, help me. And He will. He'll meet them where they're at. And then He takes them forward from there. But they've made a directional choice in the core of who they are to follow Him. And this is why too, you know, like even when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and when He was walking around too, and He just said, look, He said, the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God, but you guys are missing it. The point being that those people that have been so beat up and so smashed up by the world, they had a mouthful of gravel by their experience in the world system. And their heart desire was, when they saw life and they saw truth offered to them in Christ, they said, Lord, I want that. They knew what that love was, because just the little bit that they saw of that, they said, where else can I go? And they wanted that, and they called out to God. And when they called out to God like that, He met them in that place. But the tax collector, but the Pharisees and the guys that were in positions of religious authority by the man-made systems that were in place. Now God had put certain things in place, but these guys did sit in Moses' seat, but they used it as a system of social control to bind people rather than to help them to get free and to know God. But these people, in their position, basically they didn't want what God had to offer. They wanted success in the system. And so they were missing it. God was offering life. He was petitioning them. He was giving it to everybody. The ones that were picking up on it were those that had been so smashed up and so beat up by the world, and that in their heart they wanted the real thing, but they felt like for themselves, gosh, who would ever want me? Who would ever take me? And God said, yeah, over here. He said, I love you, I want you. And He called out to them and He pulled them out. But then the other guys had thought, oh yeah, I'm good enough. I'm okay. Don't you see that I do all these good things? And don't you see that I'm approved of by men? Don't you see that I've got my whole thing cranked up on every level and I've got my degrees on the wall? And God said, look, you have no clue where you are in the Spirit. He said, you're like whitewashed sepulchers. You're basically on the outside, you're whitewashed, but on the inside, you're full of greed and corruption and dead men's bones. Sons of prophet killers. So, again, what's the heart of those people? The heart of those people is not towards the Father. The heart of those people is selfish. And the heart of those people is success and position in the world and the world system. You remember that series we did on the world? Where one thing we talked about was different manifestations of the world system. And it, all of them, yeah. So you have the big fat body, and then the different heads coming off of that beast. And each head is a different manifestation of the same monster. So when you see, you know, the world political system, you see the world economic system, you see the world religious system, you see the world as far as entertainment, how those things work, all of those different components of it, if you understand just the characteristics of that body, of that world system body, then you just see the manifestation of it over and over and over and again, and you're like, oh, okay, of course. It's the same thing. So they have their hierarchy, and people sell their soul to get into that hierarchy, and they work their way up their ladder of rank within that system, the pyramid that they're in, and ultimately at the top of their pyramid is a demonic entity, is Lucifer on the top of the big pyramid. And they get in there, and the people that are above them tell them what to do and crap on them, and the ones that are below them, they can get them to do whatever they want to, and they crap on them. And so their goal is to get high as they can in that, and anybody that's below them is free game to destroy however they want to. And so it's this constant biting, devouring, destroying one another, backbiting, but they play the game. And they're all trying to get rank in that system. Yeah, and I'll superimpose that over to anyone that you want. So look at the politics, look at the religions, look at the economic systems, look at the... So when you get somebody that's ranked in their Babylonian system, and then other people, because they're spiritually attuned on that level, know their own place and rank in relationship to someone else. So say the fashion industry. You get people that are in there and they're like, oh, okay, so such and such is certain people that are at certain ranks within that industry in different places. Different countries have higher rank in that. Now, ultimately, there's a demonic Molech is demonic power very strongly associated with fashion. Now he reports to Lucifer, but it's like they've but all these people that are in there, there is a spiritual residue around what is going on in that industry. And so it taps in, so you get people that come in there with, again, what is it? Self-motivation, selfishness. Oh, I want to be a star. I want to be famous. I want to be somebody that people look at. I want to be desirable. I want people to tell me I'm beautiful. I want people to tell me I'm handsome. I want to be you. Okay, click, 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 click. Oh, would you like to be? Oh, you're so pretty, and you're going to be something. You're going to be a star. And here's what you have to do. And if you really want to be something now, oh, well, this guy over here, this designer, wants a little favor. Oh, it's nothing much. All the girls that have gone before have done that. All the boys that have gone before have done that. And even there too, what happens as well? Part of the whole thing is a distortion and a twisting of sexuality. And it's all for reason and effect and purpose. And what is it doing? Now, for a kingdom person, here's again one of the bizarre things. Like you have Daniel in Babylon, God will, on rare occasion, put his people, because the wheat and the tares grow together, he will allow for his people to be in certain situations. But even then, the only reason that they're there is because he puts them into that situation, and not because they choose it in and of themselves. And even when they're in it, a good test is, are you willing to let that go like that? Would you walk away from it just like that? Do you have your heart in that, or is your heart set on the kingdom, and are you walking with him? If your heart is in that in any way, shape, or form, it's got a piece of you. But if you have your heart set with him, then it's different. And they know it's different. They know you're different. And even if you're in something like that, if you're in any of these places, you become a target. And sometimes God will put you in there on purpose just to be a target. Like you keep going back in Daniel, and you go forward to chapter 4, and you go forward to you know, the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, their new names that they got, even though they were still the same guys, but when they were tossed into the fiery furnace, God allowed them to be put in that situation and in that circumstance as an extension of their walk and their commitment to staying in connection with Him. He allowed that situation. They became a deliberate, overt target because out of that whole situation, God was glorified, whether they were burned up or not. See, if they had already won, even in that situation, they said, look, whether He saves us or not, that doesn't matter. But know this, O King, in this matter, we're not careful to how we answer you, because know this, you know, we're never going to bow down to that to your system. Our heart is with the Father. So when it comes to like administration and the things that they had to do and the responsibilities and all of those things, sure, no problem, no issue. But when it came down to where is their heart and their allegiance and what kingdom do they serve, who are they, where is the true who they are, it was kingdom. And that is what the world cannot stand. They want you to bow to that system, and they will do everything and anything to get you to do that. Ultimately, the whole mark of the beast, 666, all of those things is people in and of themselves taking a physical manifestation of a spiritual reality, which is on the level of spirit. They have bowed to the beast world system and turn their back on God. And they're willing to seal that in their physical bodies even. To just say, look, that's where they trust for their provision, that's their God. And so God says, so that's ultimately, it's like, okay, those are belong to the world. Those aren't mine. My ones are over here. So, here's something too. If you are on that track with Him, now you're in a body, you're in flesh, you're in this world, you're going in a particular way. If you fall down, get up and keep walking in the same way. Dust yourself off, keep going. Same thing with the world. See, the world, they also mess up every now and then and do something good. But they're still going on a particular path to destruction, because their hearts are set in a certain line. So even for them, they may one day like, oh, okay, you know, let me, it's Christmas time, let's get a pudding for the people that live next door. I mean, they might, you know, something might happen, but they are still going down a particular direction, a particular path. Self-serving, world system building. Versus, I'm starting to talk like Sri Lanka. Versus kingdom people that are on a path to Father. That's what we seek. That's what we desire. That's what we want. And so if you have you crash and burn, or you have a hiccup, whatever it is, get up, allow the Spirit of, come get right before the Father, bring it before Him, bring it into the light, get right before Him, and then get up and keep moving with Him. Keep moving with Him. Let your communication with Him be honest. Be open. Let Him expose the true motives and intentions of your heart. Let Him do that, because it's good for you. It's good for you to know who you really are. And it's good for you to allow Him to expose that. Most people are petrified of what that might mean, and they try to surround themselves with endless distractions so they never have to face that. And it's usually at times of like a family crisis or a health crisis or some kind of financial issue or something that just jolts them and gets their attention. Somebody's in a car accident or whatever it is, that then they're like, oh, whoa, wait a second. But as soon as they get some, you know, stability from that, they go right back onto the same path that they were on. No, stop. Deal with the majors. A major one for us in this life is to know who you are and where you're at in relationship to your Creator. And for a kingdom person, a huge thing is to get in line and in step with Him and make sure that your life is directionally correct. You can tweak it along the way, but make sure that you're pointing in the right direction. So if you're trying to go from Sri Lanka to Africa, make sure that you're going west. You know, make sure that you're heading in that right direction. Because if you're not heading in that direction and you try to go the other way, you know, you're not going to get there. You're going to crash into South America or something. But you're not going to reach your... But if you're going in the right direction, you can tweak it. You know, you can... Oh, shoot, I got a little bit off this way. All right, let me get back. Okay, let me get back. Let me adjust my course, but I'm still going in the right direction. I'm directionally correct. So likewise for us, let the Spirit of God show you. Let the Spirit of God reveal. But you've got to get away with Him to do that. And you have to also embrace the harsh reality of who you are. But also it's a beautiful thing, because it's like medicine. There may be a bit of pain in the treatment, but there's wholeness and health as the byproduct of it. You can be set free. There's a lot of stuff that happens. You know, when you're beat up by the world, it leaves a residue on you as well. And when the world beats you up, you have certain ways that just rubbed off on you. How you think, how you respond to people, how they impact you, how certain things will trigger you in a particular way. Whatever it is, God can heal you from that. Some things take longer than others. Some stuff may take 10 years, 12 years. Okay, but He will take you through that process. And when He does, the healing that takes place is a beautiful thing. Because after you've been healed by Him, there's a sweetness that flows through your life in those areas when you speak to someone else, and God will use you as a tool of deliverance and blessing and help and assistance for those that need that, because you're surrounded by hurting people. And you know, the other thing too is Jesus had compassion on people even when He knew that there were 10 lepers and He knew that 9 of them wouldn't come back and say thank you. He still healed all 10. And because it was God's heart, God chose to do that. And likewise for us, God will use us so many times to bless and help others, even when at the end of it, most times what you end up getting is ingratitude and you slapped for the support and the help that you gave them. But that's okay, because we do it as unto God, because God quickens us for that. He quickens you to do that, you do it, we do that. And the byproduct of it is His will is done, not ours. So, just some scripture references that you can go back. But another one was 1 Samuel 16 verse 7, just in relationship to some of the other ones that we had gone through. But where here's all these people coming before the prophet Samuel, and ultimately God tells the prophet Samuel, look, don't be fooled from the external appearances. You know, man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. And that's true in everything. God looks at the heart, looks at the real you. So allow Him to shape, cleanse, and mold the real you into the person that He wants you to be. And that will manifest itself into life, external reality. However it does, that doesn't matter. But the key is that which is within, because the kingdom of God is within. And with that, I will stop. New faces, hey. Boom. Spot got room. Bust, just roll.